Bright shafts of orange light form the rough shape of a streak of lightning over a shadowy blue disc. Beneath it, the words, Touchstone Pictures. A circle opens up in the black screen like an iris. Within the circle is a sepia image of Tower Bridge, the River Thames glimmering blue beneath it. Hyde Park Entertainment. White letters on a black background. Touchstone Pictures presents a David Hoberman Ashok Amritage production, a film by Adam Shankman, Steve Martin, Queen Latifah, Bringing Down the House. Text is typed onto two different computer screens.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Help me. My client is going to jail.
Oh, no, she's not. I think I've got it.
Really?
Look up Hassan versus Conrad. Similar circumstantial evidence, case was thrown out.
Legal Eagle, thank you. You are by far the most brilliant mind in this chapter.
Thank you, lawyer girl. I realize we have certain anonymity here, but do you by any chance have a name?
The cursor flashes.
It's Charlene.
More titles. Eugene Levy, Jean Smart, Missy Pyle, Kimberly J. Brown. More blue text is typed onto Legal Eagle's computer screen.
I missed you yesterday. How was your day?
Uneventful. I exercised for an hour in the morning, poked around in the yard in the afternoon, visited with a girlfriend down the block in the evening.
Sounds innocent enough.
Don't let my humdrum day fool you now. I also have a very dark side.
The words dark side scroll by and close up. Further titles, Steve Harris, Angus T. Jones, Michael Rosenbaum, Betty White, and Joan Plowright. Black text is typed across Lawyer Girl's computer screen.
Well, I'm 31, with long, flowing locks and an athletic body. Peter, what do you look like?
The cursor clicks on the send icon. Legal Eagle's cursor flashes.
I'm a little older. 6'2". My hair is... it's light. It's boyishly light.
Legal Eagle types on his computer.
And good night to you, lawyer girl.
Peter, or Legal Eagle, cracks a broad smile. He's about 50 with short grey hair. More titles. Casting by Victoria Thomas. Music supervisor Michael McQuarn. Music by Lalo Schifrin. Co-producer Todd Lieberman. Costume designer Pamela Withers-Chilton. Film editor Jerry Greenberg. Production designer Linda Deskena. Director of Photography, Julio McCatt, ASC. Executive Producers, Jane Bartelm, Queen Latifah. Produced by David Hoberman. Peter drives a silver Mercedes into an underground car park and prepares to swing into a parking bay with a sign which reads, Reserved Peter Sanderson. He slams on the brakes when he sees a Porsche with the license plate Tax King already parked there.
Gindler.
Produced by Ashok Amritage. Written by Jason Faladi. Directed by Adam Shankman. Peter comes into an elegant boardroom where a dozen or so suited men are seated around a long rectangular table.
Don't worry, I've taken care of it. Oh, good. Peter's here. We can begin.
Okay, on to pressing business. Word has come to us that coffee heiress Mrs. Virginia Arness has dismissed her current tax lawyers.
Virginia Arness, 74 years old, born and raised in Athens, Georgia. At the age of 13, she was shipped off to boarding school in England, where she's been residing until just recently. I was on it 2 days ago.
Impressive. Now, we've all heard that Mrs. Arness has a penchant for thriftiness.
And that she brings new meaning to the term conservative. It's not going to be easy. She's paranoid and suspicious. Peter,
I'm her guy. I'm single. I'll give her nights, weekends.
Aren't you getting married on Sunday, Todd?
That's flexible. And Peter, I wouldn't want this to interfere with your family's Hawaiian vacation. You go on. I got it all taken care of. Mahalo.
Todd slides a file to Peter.
Well, that's very admirable of you, Todd. I mean, your youth definitely makes you an ass.
Peter drinks some water.
Set to the company, especially at the annual softball game. But to an arch-conservative 74-year-old woman? What we will do is not charge Mrs. Arness one single red cent for her estate planning. Why? Because we don't care about that measly fee. We use it as a loss leader to get her corporate business, the multi-billion dollar Arness Coffee conglomerate.
The young, lean-faced Todd Gendler puts on a composed smile while the other men look pensive. Later, Peter strides along a stylish corridor and into his office. He unbuttons his jacket and slaps down the file, then walks around his desk and sits down in front of his laptop computer as a dark-haired man with glasses steps in.
How may I help you, Howie?
Just thought I'd congratulate you on turning it around.
Turning what around?
You sniped Gendler.
Please, Gendler doesn't bother me.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't bother you. What the heck was I thinking?
Howie shuts the door.
Listen, I thought maybe after work you and me go tie one on, maybe check out some of the local talent.
Can't. I'm meeting Mrs. Arness at 6. And by the way, it's you and I go tie one on, not you and me go.
Somebody messaging you here. Who's lawyer girl?
Peter shuts his laptop.
Nobody.
Whoa! Did someone make a blind internet date?
No, I mean, you know, well, technically, but you know, no. I met her in a legal chat room. She's very classy and smart.
When do you nail her?
I'm courting her tonight at 7.
Oh, geez, you're courting her. Sounds like a hot one. And this is her.
Yeah, she's attractive, isn't she?
I suppose. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea.
What do you? She is universally cute.
She's a little too anemic looking, Petey. I like my jello to jiggle if I'm not being too subtle. But
you're not being too subtle.
All right, as long as she spins your knobs, I'm happy for you.
The laptop shows a picture of a stylish blonde woman.
Have you nailed anyone since Kate?
Nail? Am I supposed to call her? Sophia, can you get my wife on the phone?
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife on the phone?
Right away.
Yeah. Can't help you with this one, pal. See you later.
Peter's on the phone to Kate, his ex-wife.
Peter, you cannot break another promise to these kids. You can't. You just can't.
I said I couldn't take them to Hawaii. I didn't say I couldn't take them. They can spend the week with me.
They are going to be so disappointed. I can't talk to you right now.
Kate hangs up and turns to see a young boy of about 7 watching her. He wears a swimming mask and snorkel and stands beside a girl of about 16.
Daddy can't take you to Hawaii.
Oh, darn.
He always does this.
They trudge off. Peter walks into an elegant restaurant and steps up to the hostess.
Sanderson, party of two.
Oh, you're the last to arrive.
How long has she been here?
About 20 minutes.
Was she in trouble?
An old lady dressed in purple sits at a table with a large white bulldog who wears an Elizabethan ruff.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Peter Sanderson.
Peter sits at the table.
Well, I'm glad they didn't send a child. I told them I specifically wanted someone my own age.
Peter's smile stiffens and he looks across at the dog seated beside him.
What a wonderful French bulldog. My mother had one. They make great companions. What's her name?
It goes for him.
His name is William Shakespeare.
Peter smiles.
Of course. Now, I've heard about your unfortunate escapade.
I don't have escapades.
Fiasco with your previous attorney.
The man was a thieving criminal. Just because I have a lot of money doesn't give people the right to overcharge. I do not enjoy being taken advantage of.
Which is why our service is free of charge. After all, you worked hard for your money.
I'm an heiress.
An heiress who worked hard to keep her money.
A waiter pours drinks.
Now, shall we get down to business?
Fine. So now you may hand over your proposal. I'll take it with me.
Peter looks lost.
Proposal. Well, I was expecting to meet with you tomorrow.
I was assured the proposal would be ready for this afternoon. I see no point in our meeting tomorrow.
Madam, I'm sorry. We have a no-dog policy in the lounge. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to ask you to remove the dog.
Excuse me. I am Mrs. Arness's attorney, and because there is no sign posted regarding dogs, that means there is no policy toward dogs. Now, if you want to avoid a legal situation, I would suggest you run to the kitchen and get some tuna tartare for William Shakespeare on the house.
Yes, sir. Terribly sorry, ma'am.
After pointedly winking, Peter secretly gives the waiter a $100 bill and the waiter scuttles off. Peter settles back down in his chair and looks at Mrs. Arness.
Where and when tomorrow?
Peter pulls his Mercedes into his driveway. An old lady in a flowery dress calls out from the garden over the road as Peter gets out of the car.
Hello, Mr. Sanderson.
Oh, Mrs. Klein, always a pleasure.
And when am I going to get to babysit with your charming little Georgie again?
Oh, soon, because he just loves coming over to your place.
Mr. Sanderson?
He turns back.
Those Latin people who were skulking around.
Oh, they were looking at the Aruda house.
Casing it?
No, to buy it.
Oh, Please, if they're in this block and not carrying a leaf blower, I...
Yeah, well, I'd love to discuss this with you further, but I'm expecting someone.
Finally, tearing himself away, Peter hurries into his large, stylishly appointed house. He drops his briefcase onto a wooden bench in the hallway and puts his mobile phone on charge, then strides into his modern-style kitchen and takes a couple of utensils out of a drawer. Peter hurriedly opens his fridge and takes out some food. He puts the food down on the worktop along with a chopping board, then checks his watch and grits his teeth. Peter jogs upstairs carrying his briefcase and goes into his bedroom. A little later, he wears a shirt and trousers and stands in front of a full-length mirror. He has his arms inside a V-neck sweater and holds the neck hole open as wide as he can, so as not to mess up his hair as he puts the sweater on. Peter straightens the maroon sweater over his torso and flicks his shirt collar out of the neck hole. He holds his hands to his stomach and looks at his reflection self-consciously. Next, he's changed into a check shirt which hangs loose over a grey t-shirt. He tries to adopt a confident swagger but gives up. Now he wears an open-necked mustard-coloured shirt. He undoes a few more buttons to expose his chest.
Yeah, maybe.
He gives a macho snarl. Evening's fallen as Peter strains to over-tighten his belt around his slightly protruding stomach. He wears a pale check shirt and checks his cufflinks.
Hi.
Peter smiles at his reflection. He holds a hairbrush and carefully tries to style his fine grey hair. He brushes his hair to the side, then brushes it forward and flicks his head back. He brushes his hair back and to the side, then pushes his fringe in the other direction with his hand. He teases it some more with the brush, but gives up in frustration. In his living room, Peter loads a CD into his state-of-the-art music system. In the kitchen, Peter opens a bottle of champagne. He takes the bottle out of an ice bucket and carefully pours some champagne into two slim glass flutes. Peter puts down the champagne and checks his watch, then picks up the two flutes in one hand and rubs his other hand over the back of his head. With an easygoing swagger, he walks out into the hall and dims the lights a little. He stands by the front door and takes a moment to steel himself before opening it.
I hope you like sham...
A curvaceous young black woman in a cut-off shirt beams at him.
Baby, ooh, champagne. I love champagne. It's for me.
I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong house.
It is damn good to finally connect.
Pardon me?
It's me, fool. Charlene. Ooh, food.
What?
It's me, honey. Your date. Lawyer girl.
You can't be. Hey, leave that alone.
Well, why can't I?
Because you're not a blonde.
Can't get nothing past you. You must be a bomb-ass lawyer. Oh, look at all of these pretty candles, all romantic and shit.
He blows them out.
Somebody was planning on getting some booty tonight.
Hey, leave that alone. It has settings. And you can't be Charlene because Charlene is more of a...
Skinny white broad.
Yeah?
You know, I get that a lot. But that's your fault you thinking that, bruh. You must have not have took a good look at that picture.
I have looked at that picture a lot. And trust me, you are not in it.
Mm-hmm.
Charlene sucks an olive and nods her head. Later, she looks on as Peter calls up the image of who he thought was Lawyer Girl, a blonde woman who's being interviewed outside a court.
Move. Let me do it. See?
In the background, Charlene's being led out of court by two cops.
There I am.
Peter gapes.
Sorry you got it twisted, dog. I don't get a lot of photo ops where I've been.
He looks suspicious.
Where exactly have you been?
Ooh, I got a rumble in the jungle. We still having dinner or what?
I asked you a question.
Rolex? I did time, baby, but I ain't do the crime.
You're a convict?
Bump that. Shoot, Roscoe cracked that dough. I kicked it off the heezy and bounced. For real, though.
What did you just say?
What, don't you hear good?
He blinks at her.
All right, let's see. How can I put this? I was recently liberated from a correctional facility.
All right, I get it. You're in the big house, and you get someone to type for you, and you get on the internet, and you misrepresent yourself. You know, it happens, and I'm a sucker. But now you have to go, because this is over.
Hey. Biscuit, you misrepresented yourself. Boyishly light. Please, Gray. And said you was a criminal lawyer? I pulled your file. You're just some sorry-ass tax attorney.
A tax lawyer is a criminal lawyer.
Oh, yeah? Well, good. That's why I'm here.
Well, do tell.
Well, I want to reopen my case.
And what did you do? Smoke some homies on a drive-by?
She rolls her eyes.
Smoke? Homies? Oh, you a regular gangster, huh? Nah, man. I was in for armed robbery, but I didn't do it.
Yeah, well, nobody did it.
No,
but now
I really
you have
didn't
to go.
Do it.
I can't be having this conversation because you're a criminal
I'm
type.
I'm not a criminal. If I was a criminal, I would have shanked you when we were standing right there and had that knife
just
in my head.
Just the fact that you even said that, that is a problem for me.
I didn't think that.
Please,
just listen to me. Just give me one second.
No, I don't have a second.
Okay. Look, can I just say something, please?
What?
I didn't do the crime. You rude mother...
He shuts her out and she opens the peephole in the door.
I ain't going.
Peter closes and locks the peephole. Outside, Charlene turns away from the door with a snarl. Peter trudges into his bedroom and sits down heavily on the bed. With a weary sigh, he pulls off his shoes and drops them on the floor, then stands. He takes his keys out of his trouser pocket and chucks them onto a dresser, then undoes his belt and starts to take off his trousers with a thoughtful expression. He gets one leg out.
It's your baby, Peter! And don't you deny it! That DNA test told on you!
He yanks his trousers back up.
You know little Kareem is yours! Why? How you gonna do me like that, Peter? You told me I was your beautiful African queen! And I loved you for that, Peter! I gave you a little thing with curve!
She's in the garden.
And little Kareem don't want your child support! He just want a relationship with his white daddy!
Peter runs outside.
A little chocolate vanilla swirl from that magical night at the crack house.
He tackles her and jostles her back to the house.
Come on, just be quiet.
Wait just a second, my shoes.
Mr. Sanderson, is everything okay? I thought I heard Negro.
No, no Negro spoken here.
Oh.
Well, good night then.
Good night.
Mrs. Klein goes back inside and Peter pulls Charlene out of the bush he threw her into.
Come on.
He drags her inside, shuts the door and dials his mobile phone.
You stay. You wait right there.
Who you calling?
The police.
Charlene reaches into her sack and pulls out a sheet of paper.
What's that?
It's all of our emails. Think anybody at Tobias Klein and Barnes would be interested in hearing about you looking for Boom Boom in a federal pen? And I'll send a photo.
Thanks for holding. Can I help you?
He hangs up. Later, he leads her down a hall.
Now, this is just for tonight, understand?
Peter and Charlene step into a large bedroom. She smiles and nods.
I can work with this.
She sits.
But, look, don't be getting no ideas about sneaking up in here and hitting this ass. Because you blew your chance with this fine sister.
Dare to dream?
Please.
Peter leaves. As soon as he's gone, Charlene snuggles down with a smile.
Oh, my God, babe. Oh, a nice big cushy bed. Oh, no roommates, no cellmates.
Next morning, Peter stands on the landing and peers downstairs with a frown. He goes downstairs, paces along the hall and comes to Charlene's bedroom door. He removes a chair that was propped up against the doorknob and opens the door.
Charlene?
He steps inside.
Charlene?
He stands beside the bed and looks down at her.
Charlene! Come on, you're not fooling anybody.
She attacks him.
Who that? Who wanted with Lee?
She looks around anxiously.
I put some bagels outside. I thought we could discuss your case.
Peter and Charlene come out of the house.
What up, though? Where them bagels at?
Hey, guess what, girlfriend? Your game is up, because I burned all those emails, including the second set I found hidden in the lining of your coat. And I deleted everything off my computer. So, I never met you, and you never met me.
She heads back.
Don't even try, girlfriend, because it's locked. And now, I am going to go get my kids. As in, innocent young persons who will never even know you were here. So now, just go.
He leads her through a gate and then shuts it.
Lock it. So ta-ta, and watch out, the gate closes automatically.
What about my stuff?
Oh, it's right there on the street.
You put my stuff on the trash?
Oh, well, you know what? I wish you well. I really do. And you know what? I had a great, great time. It was really fun. So, oh well, I guess I'll just see you in my next life. Bye!
Peter drives off in his Mercedes.
I'll see you when you get home.
Kate's in her kitchen with Ashley, her younger sister. Kate's daughter Sarah's in the adjoining lounge.
So, I said to him, Just because you whisked me off to Paris on your private jet doesn't mean I'm going to sleep with you.
What does he think I am, a hooker?
Can Aunt Ashley edit herself, please?
You stayed in the same room with him. What did you expect?
Hello, it was a suite, plenty of floor space.
Sweet pie, have a wonderful time. I love you. And please be good to your brother and help him with his reading.
I will. Is he still having problems?
Yeah. Oh, he struggles every day, but he's improving.
Dad's here.
Thank you, sweetie pie.
Ashley to Georgie.
Don't worry, sweetie. Daddy's stupid, too, and he became a lawyer.
Ashley!
I'm not stupid.
That's
No, of course not.
Hey, Dad's here.
Speak of the dummy.
To Sarah.
Hey, how's my little girl doing, huh?
Hi, Dad.
Hey, how's it going, big guy? Ah, here you go.
Peter looks at Kate.
Hi, Kate.
She forces a smile.
Hi. Oh, Ashley, I didn't realize you were going to be here. What a pleasant surprise.
Peter, you're almost aging well.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I thought we'd go down to the club, and we'll all take a swim. How's that sound?
Ooh, that sounds much more fun than Maui.
You know, Ashley, not all of us earn our living by milking rich geriatrics out of their money. Some of us have to work for a living.
Peter, you sound much more intelligent with your mouth shut.
Oh, let's not start this. I don't have time. Kids, go get your stuff.
All right, fine. But I warned you about marrying the first jerk-off you met out of college. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a date. Don't be good.
Ashley heads out.
What morgue did you find this one at?
Stop being so childish.
They look away from each other as an athletic young dark-haired man comes in.
Hey.
Kate smiles.
Wow. You look beautiful, eh?
Thank you.
The man nuzzles Kate's neck. Peter turns away and she looks uncomfortable.
Peter, this is Glenn.
Peter grins.
Hey.
Hey, Mr. Sanderson, nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, what do you say we get this road on the show? I'll pump
it. Okay.
Glenn goes.
We'll meet you outside.
Okay.
Road on the show.
Just don't.
They leave the house.
How old is he?
Younger.
What does he do?
Golf instructor.
How do you know that?
What?
Well, you think you know somebody, and then one day you wake up in Thailand missing a kidney. I mean, he could have made up this whole golf identity.
He caddied for you when he was 14.
He looks over at Glenn.
That's little Glennie?
Peter gapes.
Does that bother you?
Not at all. Go have fun on your statutory weekend.
Kate heads towards Glenn's 4x4, then turns back to Peter.
This does too bother you. I know you. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, look, I mean, it just looks a little silly. Hang on. Hello?
Some things never change.
I can't talk right now. Well, put them on.
Kate walks off.
Hi.
Peter's car.
You promised us you'd take us snorkeling.
Things come up. That's life.
I know. I'm really, really sorry. I really am. But now, it's over. It's new. We're going to have a lot of fun. Now, what's new? What's new with you?
To Sarah.
Well, I got the female lead in the school play Oklahoma.
He checks his watch.
Hey, that's great. Congratulations. And how about you, big guy? How's school?
I don't like school.
Yeah, well, nobody likes school, but come on, there must be something you like about it. Come on, one thing.
He got into a fight the other day.
Why? Why? Why'd you get in a fight?
Some kids called me a babe because the way I read.
Hey, some of the greatest minds of all time had trouble learning, like Edgar Allan Poe and Albert Einstein and Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy rules.
Ozzy rules, okay.
Cars are parked in front of Peter's house and people mill around outside.
Dad, what's going on?
You two wait here, I'll be right back.
He strides up to a big man standing at the gate to the back garden.
Hey!
Whoa. Where you think you're going, Milt? This here's a charitable event. If you want to get in, you got to make a donation. Trust me, it is off the hook.
Off the what? I live here.
The man stops him.
I don't care if you're Halle Berry, man. No donation, no entry.
How about if I call the police?
The man takes Peter's arm, lowering his mobile from his ear.
Have a nice time.
The man gestures to the opening gate. Peter goes into his back garden and lowers his sunglasses in shock. Several dozen young black men and women wearing summer gear or bikinis are swimming in his pool or standing around the edge. He goes into his house and finds it filled with more of Charlene's friends. Charlene herself is playing craps in the lounge while having extensions put into her hair.
What the hell is going on here?
Oh, yo, P is cool. See, I hit up my homegirl because I had to get my hair done, as we both know. And then she called a friend. They gonna holler to some other friends before you know we got us a house party.
Winnings change hands.
I want everyone out of here now. People.
What's in your panties, Grandma? Look, you lock me out, no money, no place to go. I mean, the girl got to get her cheese on. Stella.
Oh, this is insane. My boss's sister lives across the street. I can't have all these people.
He spots Sarah in the kitchen.
Hey!
He strides in and yanks a bottle of beer out of Sarah's hand.
Hey, she doesn't even have her driver's permit.
Dad.
Do not go in.
Peter then sees Georgie playing craps with Charlene.
Don't inhale.
All right, now, go on and toss them bones, little man.
Peter grabs the dice.
Hey!
Come on, little
man. Come on, roll, Dad!
And throws them on the table.
Get out! I want you and your dogs to go back to the pound now!
Several men with mean expressions stand and surround Peter.
Well, was the dogs? Because she said dogs, and then I said dogs, so I assume they'll be okay.
He tries to act nonchalant. Four men carry Peter out of the house and into the back garden. Charlene watches with concern through the window as they throw him into the pool. Charlene grimaces while her friends laugh and point at Peter. A little later, Charlene stands on the front lawn as her guests leave.
Bye, Tanika. Y'all be good now.
She calls to a small group of friends.
Hey, y'all got to go.
The friends swagger off, and the big man who was guarding the gate walks up behind Charlene.
Hey, baby. Gonna go.
Oh, bye, Dad. Right. Thank you so much.
Peter hurries people on their way.
That's it. It's over.
All right. Now, if I see Widow around, I'm gonna tell him you're out. You know he wants to know that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'll see you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Mrs. Klein from across the road gets out of her pale blue Cadillac and looks on in shock as some of Charlene's friends walk past. Charlene tidies the lounge as Peter marches in, dripping wet.
What are you still doing here?
What was all that, Dad?
Dad, who's this?
This is no one.
What's up, little Romeo? My name is Charlene. What's your name?
I'm George!
You cannot meet a non-existent person.
Peter grabs him.
Can Charlene come to the club?
Club? What club? We're not going to a club, remember? We're going to Hawaii, remember? Okay, you know the routine. Outski! Come on, out!
Come on,
let's go. Sarah, get the door. Come on.
Sarah opens the door and Peter shoves Charlene out.
Hey!
What?
Give me my money, little boy.
That money should go to charity.
He slams the door, inadvertently shutting Georgie out.
Wait.
Hey, I live here.
He beckons Georgie in and holds a silencing finger up to Sarah. At the Trinity Hills Country Club, Sarah, Georgie and Peter come out into a large garden area. Georgie carries a lilo.
Okay, you guys, you order hot dogs and you splash and frolic and just put everything on my account and just have fun.
Didn't you bring your bathing suit?
No, I'm having tea with a client, but I will be right back.
He goes.
Whatever you say. Wanna go swimming?
No.
With you? Get new.
In the restaurant.
Wow.
How's it looking?
Well, I was up all night proofing. It's absolutely brilliant. And you've got the cleanest background check I've ever seen.
Yeah, that background check cost me a lot of fun in my life.
Charlene swaggers in and walks up to the white-haired hostess.
What's cracking, Mom? I'm looking for the Sanderson table. We old college buddies.
Okay. He's in the dining room. I'll show you.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what. I'll surprise him.
Charlene wears a tight denim outfit and a little red Trilby-style hat.
No, you're in great shape, Petey. I'm going to take off.
All right, thanks. I mean, you're right. Nothing could go wrong. I've done this a million times with important clients, so I'm fine.
Shazam.
What?
Howie's mouth drops open as Charlene appears at the top of a short flight of steps.
Oh, swing it, you Coco goddess.
Coco goddess, that's the rude shock I was telling you about.
That's Charlene.
Did you see me?
Peter tries to hide his face with a napkin as she comes down.
Okay. Police. No, I won't get here fast enough. Security. Oh, she could probably take them.
Howie watches awestruck as Charlene reaches the bottom of the stairs and straightens her miniskirt. She runs her tongue across her lips, then smiles towards Howie and flicks out her ponytail. Howie's face is strained with sexual tension.
Money.
Peter delves into his pocket as Charlene comes towards him.
Look, hi. Here's whatever. And there's more where that came from if you just leave now.
No, boyfriend. We got business.
Boyfriend?
Oh, didn't I tell you? Yeah, we're dating now. Look, it's some kind of street talk.
It's straight for I'm not going nowhere until you help my problem go away.
Look, Mrs. Arness, a very important client, is due here any minute.
Mrs. Arness enters the restaurant with William Shakespeare on a lead. She walks up to the hostess.
Good afternoon. Mr. Sanderson?
Oh, yes, he's in the dining room.
Thank you.
At Peter's table...
Charlene, how about you and I having a smart cocktail down by the pool? What do you say?
Who is this fool?
Hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Whatever you want, just put it on my bill.
I don't want no smart cocktail. I need your help.
Miss?
Ashley.
Another martini. Oh, hell no. I know she ain't talking to me.
Ashley, she doesn't work here.
Well, if she isn't here to work, then what is she here for?
Oh, hell's no, Miss Thing. You best pump your brakes.
Listen, she's my ex-wife's sister. I would have killed her myself years ago.
Mrs. Arness comes in.
It's Mrs. Arness.
Mrs. Arness comes down the stairs and Charlene looks thoughtful.
Old Arness be looking mean.
Yes, yes, now you have to go.
You like raw oyster, Charlene?
Peter glares.
Yeah, I guess I can hang out for a bit. They got any hot wings around here?
All right, whatever you want. Yes, yes, yes.
You give me a place to stay?
Yes.
And you work on my case?
Around the clock.
And I leave when you expunge my record?
Consider it expunged.
She smiles.
All right. I'd like a key, please.
Peter forages in his trouser pocket as Mrs. Arness approaches.
Mr. Sanderson?
Mrs. Arness.
Who is your associate?
Oh, this is Howie Rotman, the attorney I told you about.
A great pleasure to meet you, Mrs. Arness.
I meant her.
Charlene.
Her? Her? Her is her. She is our nanny.
Dad, I'm bored.
Kids, how good to see you. Don't we just love our nanny, Charlene?
Peter hugs Sarah and tries to prompt her with his eyes.
Yeah.
He turns to Charlene.
Don't you just love being our nanny, Charlene?
He holds up the key and stares at Charlene with a pleading expression. She regards him for a moment, then takes a deep breath.
Yes, sir?
She doffs her hat and Peter grins.
Now we'll go on down to the pool with the children. Maybe we make fun of the white folks again, huh, kids?
Oh, the kids just love her.
What a sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, Peter, I'm going to hang by the pool if you need me. Mm-hmm. That's where I'll be, Mrs. Arness.
Right this way, Mrs. Arness. Come on,
William.
Howie goes.
You have the papers?
Oh, yes, yes, I do.
Strange clothes for a nanny.
Well, it's a fashion, kids.
Wow. Yeah, but never mind.
Peter flinches as William nips him. Later, Peter swings his Mercedes into his drive. Mrs. Klein's pruning a rose bush in her garden and looks across the road as Peter and the kids get out of the car.
Hello, Sanderson family.
She waves cheerfully.
Georgie, don't forget poker night.
I won't. How can I forget poker night?
The Sandersons take Georgie's blue Lilo out of the car and carefully keep it upright as they shuffle backwards towards the house. Mrs. Klein's smile becomes bemused when she sees Charlene's sandaled feet shuffling along with them. Charlene herself is hidden behind the Lilo. Kate and Glenn are having a candlelit meal in a secluded lakeside cabin.
I propose a toast.
Okay.
They raise their champagne flutes.
To us.
Glenn links his arm around Kate's.
May we always...
Sorry, it's mine.
Oh, you're not going to answer that, are you?
She tries to free herself.
It might be one of my kids.
Kate puts down her champagne flute, reaches behind her and sorts through her bag. Glenn puts his champagne down as Kate finds her phone.
Sorry.
It's Ashley.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Oh, hi, Ashley. Everything okay?
I don't know.
An old man's with her.
I saw Peter hanging out at the club today. He was mingling with a large black woman.
What? What are you talking about?
He said it was his nanny. She didn't look like any nanny I'd ever seen. She was all tattooed and bangy and welfare-ish. It was...
Glenn nuzzles Kate's neck.
Oh, is that funny to you? Is that funny? Am I funny to you?
No, that's not funny.
Were you laughing at me?
Oh, I wasn't.
Stop. Get away.
No, I wasn't laughing at you. Just hang on. I know Peter. I know him. He's not going to spend all his time taking care of the kids. He went and hired somebody.
Seriously, Kate, this woman was no nanny. You need to do something. I saw this woman. I was there. You weren't. Shouldn't you at least be looking at references?
Thank you. Listen, Peter is nothing if not responsible. It's not like he's going to hire a convicted felon.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure about that.
But Peter's...
Okay, let's see. We got resisting arrest, assaulting an officer, repeated attempts at eye gouging, and scrotum crushing.
Well, I was a little riled up being framed and all.
And your clothes and ID were found at the scene.
All plants. I never robbed nobody.
Okay.
I know my rights. I get an appeal.
No, you only get an appeal if you were convicted and incarcerated. You were released. Look, why don't you just start over?
She stands.
Go back to school and get at least a passing familiarity with the English language. I mean, it's no end to what you can accomplish with a little commitment. My daughter Sarah is fully committed, and she's going places.
Charlene sees Sarah sneak out of the house.
Oh, she's going places, all right.
Peter's office.
So it's a charitable remainder trust.
That way the old tightwad gets a huge deduction every year. No more calls, Sophia.
It's not a call. There's someone here. I do not know who you are.
I don't know who you are. Send her in.
The secretary lets Charlene into the office.
Bet you know me now, huh?
Howie stands.
This couldn't wait until tonight.
Well, well, well. Come in, have a seat, spend some time.
Thanks, homeboy. And no, it can't wait. You gotta check this out.
What is it?
I found a deposition. The prosecution interviewed an eyewitness, and she told them that the perpetrator didn't have a tattoo on the chest. They never told my lawyer about this chick.
That's withholding
exculpatory evidence. People versus Stanley, I know.
How do you know that?
Why wouldn't she know that? She's got it going on.
Damn, Pete, all I did in there was read law books.
And with comprehension.
Made you think I was a lawyer.
I mean, you obviously have pockets of intelligence. So why do you walk and talk and act the way you do?
Because it's sexy.
It ain't acting. This is who I am. I mean, you think I can't talk like you? Oh, Peter, I absolutely love what you've done with the place. It's so sterile, so bland, so wonderful.
See, you can do it.
Oh, you like that, huh? Well, you can kiss my natural black ass, because I don't need your approval.
Ah, she don't need your approval.
Hey, you don't think I compromise the way I act? You think I like walking around like an uptight honky? Yes, I know your lingo.
Peter, Mr. Tobias is coming to see you.
Oh, God.
Well, this should be interesting.
Uh-oh. What we gotta do, play hide the sister? Or do I gotta do that slave thing again?
Just act natural.
Peter tries to be casual.
Let's get around.
Right, why don't we get around?
Peter and Howie jostle Charlene out of the office and head down a corridor. Howie steers them back the way they came, and they find themselves face to face with the middle-aged Ed Tobias. Todd Gendler joins them.
Peter. Howie.
Ed.
Who is this?
This is the...
Mrs. Anderson, I can see you are very busy, a very busy man you are. That's why I really appreciate you offering your services free of charge.
Peter puts on a modest grin.
Peter?
Well, see, Mr. Sanderson here, being the heavenly man that he is. God bless you. Who you got that anointing on you? Has offered to do the taxes for the Compton Evangelistic Episcopal Baptist Church of South Central.
You know, just anything to help Reverend Shaq Delfont.
Just call him Shaq.
Shaq.
Well, anyway, I'll let you guys go. I'll see you at the choir rehearsal on Thursday.
Thursday.
7:00 now.
Okay.
I'll escort Mrs. Shaq Delfont to the elevator. Gentlemen?
Peter, we're really in a crunch. I just got word that another firm is in the running for the R&S account. We need to close this deal.
Look, I have no problem being Peter's wingman on this one.
Oh, well, you know, thanks anyway, but I really have it under control. So you don't have to worry about a thing, Ed.
Good. Then I'll expect you to wrap it up in a day or two.
Well, that's the plan, certainly.
Peter leaves, grinning confidently at Ed and Todd. Mrs. R&S stands on a golf course beside a caddy who holds William Shakespeare on a lead. She watches as Peter lines up a shot and tees off with a powerful swing.
Well,
Mrs. R&S walks to the tee, nodding at Peter as she passes him.
Could you?
Sure.
The caddy gives William Shakespeare's lead to Peter and walks over to Mrs. R&S, who stands waiting, club in hand. The caddy sticks a tee into the ground and carefully places a ball on it before walking back to Peter.
Thank you.
She can't tee up her own ball.
I've been playing this game for many years.
That's what it feels like.
And it's all about patience.
Peter checks his watch as Mrs. R&S sways her club to and fro. Finally, she swings the club back over her shoulder and swipes at the ball. Peter looks up in surprise as the ball climbs high into the air and Mrs. R&S smiles with satisfaction. Later, Peter drives Mrs. R&S back to the clubhouse in a golf cart.
Well, you beat me by 19.
Let's make it 20.
All right. Mrs. R&S, I was wondering if you'd like to come over to my house on Thursday and possibly look over the contract.
I'll have to check with my secretary, Julia.
Mrs. R&S, would you excuse me for a minute? I just have to check on my children.
Oh, of course. You do that.
I'd like to dip you in cheese whiz and spread you over a Ritz cracker from not being too subtle.
Howie's with Charlene.
Well, you are some kind of freaky.
Oh, you have no idea. You got me straight tripping, boo.
Hey, what are you doing here?
What does it look like? I'm on a date.
On a date?
She's on a date? She's a felon.
Hey, what is she doing here?
Ashley.
Oh, get used to it, Twiggy. You're going to be seeing a lot more of me around here.
Not without a broom in your hand.
If I have a broom, it's only because I'm here to sweep up the white trash.
Save it for the YMCA, Jemima.
Bitch! I will kick the bulimia out of your ass.
Have you ever had a temperate moment? What if you go back to the vodka bottle you crawled out of?
Look, Mrs. Arness is here. I am sheltering you. I'm helping you. Remember, I helped you.
All right. I'll let it ride.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for letting it ride. That is wise and mature. Now just, you know, get her walking. That way.
Let me show you the place, Charlene.
Howie ushers Charlene away. She spots Ashley going into the ladies' washroom.
Hey, freak boy. I'm going to make myself a little more luscious for you, okay? I'll be right back.
He watches her go.
Okay, precious.
In the ladies' washroom, Ashley stands in front of a mirror and dabs powder onto her face. Charlene enters behind Ashley and stares at her. Ashley closes her compact and turns to face Charlene.
What are you doing in here?
I told you was going to be seeing more of me, right? Look, I came here to warn you. You keep disrespecting me, and it's going to get rough around here.
Back off, Shaniqua. You don't scare me.
You know what? That's it. You must need a little more eyeshadow, right? Come on!
Charlene throws a punch, but Ashley drops down and kicks Charlene's feet from under her. Charlene pulls off Ashley's shoe and hits her with it. Ashley flips back up and pulls off her other shoe.
You messed with the wrong wasp, bitch!
Ashley throws the shoe at Charlene, who punches her in the face and stomach, sending her spinning against a door. Ashley glowers at Charlene, then launches herself at her. Charlene grabs Ashley by the throat, and Ashley smashes herself free with a powerful blow from her forearm. Charlene swings at Ashley, but Ashley blocks her blows, punches her in the stomach and head, and then hits Charlene with a kung fu kick, which sends her sprawling into a chair.
Compliments at Taibo, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Ashley does a couple of Taibo moves and then runs at Charlene, who kicks her in the stomach and jaw. Charlene jumps up, grabs Ashley and pounds her head against the wall, then knees her in the stomach and throws her into a wicker chair. Charlene punches Ashley in the chest, and Ashley kicks her in the face, knocking her backwards. Ashley stands up and glares at Charlene, who gestures her to bring it on. Ashley runs at Charlene and kicks her, and Charlene punches Ashley in the stomach before grabbing hold of her and ramming her head into a wall, cracking a ceramic tile. Charlene throws Ashley through a door and into a toilet cubicle, then grabs her by the hair and dunks her head into the toilet.
Compliments to the hood, 24 hours a day, all my life.
Ashley elbows Charlene in the face and then kicks her out of the cubicle. With her wet makeup running, Ashley stands and squares up to Charlene.
You know, for a skinny white hoe, you're pretty tough.
Ashley swipes Charlene in the face and kicks her into a changing area. Charlene skids across a bench, smacks into a wall and looks up to see Ashley doing her Tai Bo moves. Charlene runs across the bench and hits Ashley with a flying kick. She pounds Ashley in the face and stomach before picking her up and hanging her on a coat hook.
And I don't ever want to have this conversation again.
The unconscious Ashley hangs there. Charlene adjusts her jaw and goes. At Peter's, Charlene wears a Walkman and sits on the couch. Georgie sits beside her reading a magazine.
The girl had
It's called Giant Jugs.
Bull.
Double D cups.
There you go, you got it, little man.
Peter comes in.
I put my mouth on her nipple.
What is that?
He grabs the magazine.
What are you doing letting him read the... You read. Georgie, you read.
To Charlene.
I'm gonna kill you. I am so proud of you. I'm turning you in.
I found it in your drawer.
Well, I am a grown man of 49 years old, and he's 8. And what I read in the privacy of my... How'd you do it?
God, I'm never gonna get this done. Look, the boy don't look carefully at the details in a word. So most of the time, he's just guessing. Now, what you gotta do is just slow it down and just give him something stimulating to read.
Dad, what's a rack?
It's a country.
Charlene chuckles.
Well,
I was just doing it because he was bothering me.
Well, either way. Can you get rid of this?
The magazine.
All right, just put it back in my room because I'll get rid of it because I have a special treasure.
He throws the magazine to Charlene. She turns her Walkman back on as Peter answers the front door.
Wow, Mrs. Klein, how wonderful to see you. Come in.
It's girls' poker night at the house. Where's my little dealer?
Well, just wait right here, and I will just go get him. Georgie, Mrs. Klein is here.
Hi, Mrs. Khan.
Come on, Georgie. Tonight, I'm going to teach you to bluff.
Peter shoves Charlene out of sight.
And I think we need to comb your hair differently. You look like a fag.
Not a fag.
I didn't say you were. Oh, hello.
How are you? Oh, good evening, sir. Hi.
Wait. Dad, I don't want you to freak out, okay?
Why would I freak out?
Well...
Sarah shuts the door.
Dad, this is Aaron.
Hi. Hello.
How do you do, sir? I'm so glad to actually meet you. I told Sarah that it was very important that you feel comfortable with me taking her to my parents for dinner.
Aaron's a clean-cut-looking young man.
So this is a date?
I'll have her home by 11 at the latest, sir.
Peter considers for a moment, then smiles.
I guess that'd be all right.
Aaron and Sarah sit in Aaron's red sedan and wave to Peter, who waves back from the door of the house. They drive away. A short distance down the road, Sarah takes off her pink top to reveal a black T-shirt. A youth in a leather jacket pops up from the back seat.
All right, good work.
I like a charm, my friend.
That's funny.
Sarah climbs to the back.
Hey, watch your seats.
All right, time.
No, I'm serious, it's leather.
Peter wanders back into the living room with his hands in his pockets. He looks thoughtful and shifts around uneasily. Charlene sits at the breakfast bar, sewing studs onto a pair of jeans. She looks up at him.
Well, look at you all growed up.
She takes off her Walkman.
There's nothing to eat in the house.
Yeah, you coming to a point?
He strolls towards her with a nonchalant air.
I'm hungry. Are you?
He leans on a worktop.
You asking me out?
Well, no, I'm not.
She looks back down at her jeans.
Yes, I am.
Charlene smiles.
Okay.
An aerial view of downtown Los Angeles by night. The twinkling lights of tall city skyscrapers shine brightly against the black night sky. You're so fine, you make me. Trendy-looking young people dance in a relaxed manner on the floor of a sophisticated nightclub. Charlene and Peter share a table for two beside the dance floor. Charlene holds up her glass and contemplates her red wine.
Oh, look at the legs on this wine. I'm telling you, this place is banging.
Don't you just mean this is nice?
Why do word banging make you so uptight?
You know something? You're smart. If you just deign to speak English, with what you learned on the internet and in prison, you could be a paralegal tomorrow.
Oh, please, like they're gonna be beating down my door to let me in school.
As a matter of fact, you're exactly the kind of person they want.
Well, why would I want to do that anyway? I've been in your office. Everybody's all uptight, overworked, tired, stressed out, don't see their family. Who Ed is coming? Who Tobias? I get a wedgie just walking in your office.
Hey, it's what people do. They work.
Look, all I'm saying is I did the confinement thing for 4 years. Now, if you're so concerned with my future, just help me clear my name. I got it from there. I got my own dreams, my own goals.
Hey, give it to me.
Hey!
What'd you do that for? Because you work too much.
That's my phone.
Why your wife left your sorry ass.
Yeah. Okay, Oprah, if you're so good at relationships, how come you don't have a boyfriend?
I had one.
Peter holds his wet, broken phone.
Since I haven't seen or heard from him since I went in 4 years ago.
She drinks.
Were you in love with him?
Charlene casts her large, dark eyes across at Peter, then looks over at the stage where a cool-looking band have begun to play. A couple of backing singers sway as a spotlight suddenly lights up on the lead singer, a smiling young woman with hair dyed light brown and styled into a 70s flick. She sways and clicks her fingers to the beat.
Captured effortlessly, that's the way it was. It happened so. Come on, let's go dance. Come on, when is the last time you danced?
At my wedding? Don't worry, I can dance. It's just that I don't wanna.
Oh, so show me what you work for. Come on.
I can dance, I just don't wanna dance.
Man, you can't dance.
Well, I got moves.
Let me see.
I'll show you. Right. Okay, well, one last little thing.
Peter takes a gulp of wine before Charlene pulls him onto the dance floor. He jiggles around stiffly and jabs his arms.
What, she gotta pee?
She was big in high school.
Man, look, you can't dance from your brain. You gotta feel it. Now, come on, show me how you made them kids.
She tries to dance sultry with him, but gives up.
What the hell?
How's this?
It's great for epileptic. Come on, you gotta get pelvic with it.
She moves up behind him and slides her hands onto his hips. On an upper level of the club, Ashley and Kate sit at a table overlooking the dance floor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't help it. I do. I miss him.
I'll snap out of it already.
They drink martinis.
I'm snapped. I'm snapping.
Ashley gives her empty glass to a waitress, then takes off her large sunglasses and blinks her heavily bruised eyes.
Oh, God, Ash, I still can't believe you were hit by a car. You call a lawyer?
Oh, I can't talk to a lawyer. I was jaywalking. So can we just stop?
Ashley opens her compact mirror.
Oh, my God.
She sees Charlene and Peter reflected in the mirror, then turns to look at them on the dance floor. Kate stares at her sister in bemusement, then spots Peter and Charlene dancing together.
Look at that!
She gapes.
Oh my God, it's true. Look at that, look at that, look at that.
Peter's dancing better.
You never danced like that with me.
I'm gonna go talk to him. No!
Sit! I can't tell you. If I talk about it, gangster people will come to my house and cut me.
Kate looks puzzled and slowly nods, then turns her attention back to Peter on the dance floor.
Oh, he almost looks like a fine person.
Her face crumples and she fights back tears.
Must have been me. Was it me?
No, stop beating yourself up. It's him. Can we just get out of here now?
You know what they say. Once you go black, you never go back.
Ashley catches the waitress's eye. Kate holds a napkin up to her nose and Ashley forces a cheesy smile through gritted teeth before putting her sunglasses back on and sliding down in her chair. Kate stares at the dance floor and her eyes widen as she watches Peter wave his arms in the air as he dances with Charlene. Peter hugs Charlene close to him, then they separate again and lean back, limbo style, with their pelvises close to each other. Later, Charlene opens the front door and steps into Peter's hallway. Peter follows her in, looking drunk.
And that's why I worked so hard, so I could give Kate a good life. But it backfired!
Man, bitches don't care nothing about that shit.
Oh, bitches do too care. I'm gonna tell you a secret. Sometimes I drive by our old house, so I just look at it, and I just remember a life, and it just hurts.
Man, that is so pathetic, B. Diddy.
What?
But you know what? I'm gonna help you get her back.
How?
Well, first, we gotta create a mood.
She turns on the stereo.
Just like at the restaurant, baby.
I'm already there.
Yeah, I feel the Barry.
Feel Barry White. Talk like Barry.
Okay, that's Barry.
Yeah.
This is Kate.
A sculpture.
Yeah, I want you to talk nasty to her.
Talk nasty. I'd like to kiss you a lot.
Cut that sensitive shit, Nancy, boy.
What?
You gotta be a beast.
A beast?
Yeah. In a bedroom, a woman wants a man that knows how to ride him when she bucks.
Ride him when she bucks. Ride him. Just, I can't. It's a sculpture. I just can't.
All right. Okay. Use me then.
She opens her arms.
Huh?
Damn it, grab these.
What?
Grab them!
Shocked into action, Peter grabs hold of Charlene's breasts.
Oh, I get it, yeah. Hey, Kate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you've been waiting for this for a while, huh?
Now, what you gonna do to her?
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you an aromatherapy massage with incense.
No! Come on now. Whips give aromatherapy massages. Tell her again.
All right. I'm gonna have sexual intercourse, baby.
No, you a beast. You need some of these. Cojones grandes.
Yeah. I'm gonna put them in my pellet. Get in there, boys.
Now grab them.
Grab them.
Grab them.
Yeah, hey, baby.
Now
hey.
What you gonna do?
Huh?
What you gonna do?
Yeah, mama, you gonna be my tawdry little one?
Damn right. Now get your hump.
He pounces on her and they fall onto the couch.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
like
good.
Me to pounce on you like a lion.
I like
from
it.
Above.
I like it. Yeah. That's what I'm talking. That's what I'm talking. You ain't just no king of the jungle. You own that jungle. That's your pride. You own that jungle. And ain't no one gonna come around and harm your pride. That's right. I like that. Yeah, you ain't ready for that chick. Come on now. Be a beast.
What you gonna do
when she start riding, huh?
I'll take care of her. That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Your mind, Kate. Ride that lightning rod.
You don't need these, boy. You got your own. You found your ball.
Yeah, I don't need those balls. I got my own balls.
Mrs. Klein comes in with Georgie to find Charlene straddling Peter.
Mandingo!
Peter's with his bosses.
What goes on in your personal life is none of our business. But if it begins to affect the firm, we need to call attention to it.
Guys, we were moving a statue, and we lost our footing, and we fell.
My sister is under the impression that you were humping your nanny.
I was not humping my nanny.
Peter, surely you understand that if Mrs. Arness were to suspect any instability on your part,
There is no instability in my home.
Peter's back garden.
You sure you can trust this guy?
Oh, hey, he's helping me reopen my case.
Y'all got any leads?
Well, I stole from the bank surveillance cameras on his way here. And we found a deposition that could help.
Well, that's cool, baby. If there's anything I can do to help,
anything, you just holler.
Peter listens in.
I gotta run.
Hey, Widow, if you meant what you just said, it's not gonna be an easy job.
I know it ain't.
I just gotta know that if things get rough, you're not gonna run out on me.
I've been waiting 4 years for this. I ain't gonna mess up.
Widow, the burly young man with Charlene, wears a denim waistcoat over his bare chest and has spider's webs tattooed on his muscular arms. They hug. Peter steps back from the window as Charlene and Widow separate. Widow trudges away and Charlene remains by the pool for a moment before stepping through the back door and into the kitchen. She doesn't notice Peter sitting at a small table with a file in front of him. Peter slams the file shut and Charlene spins round with her fists raised.
Ooh.
Planning another heist?
She frowns.
No. Why would you say that?
I don't know. Maybe it was hearing the words job and hot bandied between two tattooed people.
Peter, that was just my old boyfriend I told you about. Widow, he's just trying to get back with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the truth. Look, I just didn't want you to see him because, Widow, he ain't been the best boyfriend. And I knew he'd be all over me.
Now you suddenly care what I think?
No. Maybe. A little bit.
Peter sighs and glances down at the file in front of him.
No more late visits?
Word.
Convicted felon's honor?
Innocent convicted felon's honor.
She holds her knuckle out to him.
Now give me some dap right there on the edge.
What do I do?
Right there and then come up here. Yep. Like that. Pow, like that.
Hello?
Dad.
Yeah?
Hey, sweetie.
Is Charlene there?
Yeah, she's here. You want to talk to her? You okay?
Yeah, I'm...
All right. Girl talk.
What up, though?
I need you to come pick me up. I can't talk about it right now.
Where you at?
I'm on the corner of Venice and Canal, and there's a whole lot of people out front. Please don't tell my dad. Right. Please.
No, just calm down. I'm coming to get you.
Sarah's hunched in the corner of a room as a party goes on around her. Peter's Mercedes screeches to a halt in the street outside and Charlene gets out of the driver's side. She leaves the hazard lights on and strides past several pockets of youths. Charlene runs up a flight of stairs and finds Sarah waiting anxiously on the landing.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what else to call.
It's cool, what's going on?
Hey, Sarah, what have you been up to?
Aaron walks by.
Is that your boyfriend?
No, it's not my boyfriend. I liked his friend, Mike. We hung out a few times, and he was always really nice. But then, we wanted to do him, I was having sex. And he moved in kind of rough. And
he got rough with you?
I've never...
Where he at?
I don't know, we went back there for that room.
Go wait downstairs.
Sarah goes.
Yo, Mike!
Please don't kill me!
Charlene's hanging Mike off the balcony by his ankles.
Are you crazy? Pull me up! What do you want?
Sarah!
What?
Mike has something to say to you. Say sorry.
I'm sorry.
Say sorry for
I'm sorry, God. I am sorry again.
Say no means no.
No means no.
At home, Peter charges upstairs.
She was where?
Calm down.
She is 14.
She's 15. Wait. Look, Sarah don't need a warden. She needs her father. You. So you can't get mad. All right? You do it, she'll never tell you anything again.
Peter shifts awkwardly.
All right. I get it. Okay.
Just be cool. Just play it cool. You know what I mean? Just listen to her. Let her do the talking.
I am listening to you.
Thank you.
He turns towards Sarah's bedroom.
Don't trip.
She makes a relaxed gesture.
Don't trip.
He knocks on the bedroom door and goes in. A little later, Peter sits beside Sarah on her bed. Sarah nervously holds a cushion.
So, you went out with a boy... And he took you to a party where kids were drinking and tripping on E. And then he took you up to a room where he tried to get all up in that, which he didn't.
Sarah shakes her head. Peter looks up and thanks God.
And then Charlene came in my new car and brought you home after first bitch slapping him.
Sarah turns to her father and nods, then cowers back slightly.
Well...
Sarah raises her eyebrows and Peter squeezes out a forced grin.
That was some night.
Oh, Dad.
They hug.
I can't believe you're not killing me.
No.
Oh, this is so great. I want everything out in the open. Oh, I have so much more to tell you.
Peter's cheerful grin dissolves into an expression of horror. Later, Peter looks shell-shocked as he trudges into his bedroom, pushes the door to behind him and sits heavily on his bed. He picks up a pillow and holds it against his face. Peter lowers the pillow, his face passive and blank again. He takes a small bottle of pills from his bedside cabinet, tips a couple into the palm of his hand and picks up a glass of water. Peter pops the pills into his mouth, then takes a gulp of water and puts the glass back on the cabinet. He stares calmly ahead, then holds the pillow to his face again. The bright morning sunshine floods through Peter's bedroom window. Peter's still fully clothed and lies sleeping on top of his bed. He winces and holds his hand up to his eyes as he slowly stirs. He still holds the bottle of pills in his hand and puts it back into the drawer of his bedside cabinet. From the same drawer, he pulls out a framed photograph of himself with his arms around Kate and a younger Georgie and Sarah. Peter stares mournfully at his own smiling image. Peter's Mercedes drives along a quiet residential street and pulls up outside Kate's large clapboard house. He stares sadly at the house, then sees Kate emerge from the back garden with two wheelie bins. Long, fair-haired Kate jumps in surprise as Peter gets out of the car and jogs up the driveway.
Kate, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
It's my shortcut home from work.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
He flounders.
I thought you were in the mountains.
Well, yeah, I came back early. There were bears that were mauling the campers and eating them.
Wow. But other than that, nothing went wrong with your...
Oh, no, he's great.
Yeah, I liked him.
She forces a smile.
So how's your...
Kate looks awkward.
My what?
Your life. Anything hip and new?
No.
She looks down and he steps towards her.
I'm having a good time with the kids, though.
Good. Glad you're having fun with her. Them.
Peter looks a little puzzled, but smiles politely. He studies Kate and she looks uncomfortable.
What?
You look, yeah. Rested. Nice. You look nice.
So, I guess I'll come by later and pick up the kids.
Oh, I was wondering if I could keep them through Friday.
Really? You're not too busy?
No.
She softens.
Yes, it's okay. It's wonderful, Peter.
You know, if you wanted to come over...
They stare at each other and Peter struggles with himself. Kate smiles indifferently.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Peter fumbles in his pockets and pulls out his mobile.
Hello?
Yo, get your butt home, dog.
I will be home in my own sweet time, girlfriend.
No, you gotta come now. Iron Ass says she on her way over here.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Oh, I'm sorry. I have to go. I just forgot about something, but I want to continue this conversation. So I will call you, or you can call me on my cell. Bye.
Peter jumps into his car and drives off. Kate gives him a half-hearted wave, then looks distastefully down at her dirty hands. The Mercedes screeches onto Peter's street and swings into his driveway. Peter gets half out of the car as it starts to roll backwards towards the road. He jumps back in and hits the brake, then quickly draws the car forward a few feet and applies the handbrake. He jumps out again and scrambles towards the house. Peter dives in through the front door and sees Sarah frantically tidying the lounge.
Is she here yet?
No!
The place is a mess! We gotta clean this place up! Hey, get upstairs and get ready. Come on, and what are you reading? Get up there. Go.
Hey, OP, while we got this minute?
What minute?
Something I really, really been meaning to tell you.
Have to wait.
Having snatched the copy of Giant Jugs out of Georgie's hands and sent him to get ready, Peter rushes out of the kitchen. Charlene sighs and chops vegetables. A little later, Peter spots Mrs. Arness peering through one of the windows.
Kids, she's here!
Peter composes himself and opens the front door. Mrs. Arness holds William Shakespeare on a lead and is gawping through one of the bushes.
Mrs. Arness?
Oh, I'll get right to the point, Mr. Sanderson. There are rumours circulating that your personal life and your home are in disarray, and this makes me feel very unsettled.
Well, I don't know who misinformed you, but please come in. I'd hate to think you're under any misapprehension about me or my family.
They go inside.
Sarah? Georgie? You remember Mrs. Arness?
So lovely to see you again. Father, when you have a moment, would you mind helping me with my report on Queen Victoria?
Sure, kitten.
And don't forget, Pop, tomorrow you have to come to school and help hand out the food to the poor kids.
Have I ever forgotten to help the poor kids?
No, Pop, never.
Peter gestures them to tone it down just a bit.
In truth, Mr. Sanderson, you have a lovely home.
Well, thank you.
And your children are very well behaved.
They're angels.
Oh, William. Oh, look. He's even taken a fancy to your boy.
That's so sweet. Anyway, we can go to the den and get the contracts if you...
What is that heavenly smell?
Ah, that would be Charlene preparing dinner. Oh. Anyway, the contracts
are just... Do you know, I haven't smelt home cooking like that since I was a child.
Really? Anyway. Yeah.
Brings back such happy memories.
Does it? Anyway, the den is...
She looks into the dining room.
Your table looks so inviting.
Yes. It's too bad it's so small.
Small?
Well, actually, it's big, isn't it? It's a big table. So there would be room for one more.
Oh, well, if it's not an imposition.
Oh. Oh. Well, let me just go check if there's enough food. I'm not sure. Because, actually, this is the night of... Yemenim, the holiday where white people eat very little portions because that was the night the Lord came down and he was given food and it was just too much and he said no. And so he had a smaller portion and that's why we might not have enough. So I'll just go check on what the Lord would say.
He goes. Mrs. Arness glances across at a small basket containing letters. Charlene's cooking as Peter rushes up to her.
Charlene. If there was ever a time I needed a favor, it's now.
Okay, you gotta baby anything.
Oh, thank you.
He hugs her and gestures her to stay put. In the hall, Mrs. Arness looks through the Sanderson's letters, while in the background, Peter runs across the kitchen holding a maid's uniform. He comes back.
Oh, Mrs. Arness?
Yes.
My family and I are pleased to invite you for dinner.
Yeah, oh, well, I wasn't expecting this. But if you insist.
And then afterwards, we can sign the contracts.
Of course.
Dinner is served.
Charlene's dressed as a maid.
I was raised in the South, you know. That smells just like our Ivy's jambalaya. She was so wonderful. We paid her nothing, of course, you know. But people had standards of service in those days. And, of course, Ivy did know that you serve from the left and collect from the right.
Charlene's about to hit her.
Don't stop with that story, because I just love hearing about your past. That is fascinating.
Charlene marches back to the kitchen with a face like thunder.
Well, anyway, as I was saying...
In the kitchen, Charlene opens a cupboard and finds a small blue plastic bottle.
Yeah, fast acting.
She pours white liquid onto one of the plates.
I'm going to get you. Well, I'm serving from the right. Or is it to left? Or is it to right?
Father's work with the Pasadena Republican Youth Group has truly been invaluable.
Charlene comes in.
I hope y'all brought y'all appetites.
I brought mine.
She puts a plate in front of Mrs. Arness.
Oh, my goodness. This is much too much for me. I'll never get through all that.
Well, I have a little less here. I'll trade with you.
Oh.
Peter swaps plates with Mrs. Arness.
Yeah, thank you.
Charlene frantically gestures him not to do it.
What, Charlene?
She sighs.
Nothing, sir.
Oh.
Charlene trudges back into the kitchen.
Oh, there's food.
So is I'm right anyway, making me wear this stinking outfit.
Charlene takes a deep breath and walks back into the dining room with two more plates.
Well, our Ivy was with us for so long, we really thought of her as one of the family.
Mm.
And after every meal, my mother would scrape all the food we hadn't eaten and put it on one big plate and give it to Ivy.
Peter swallows and Charlene stares at Mrs. Arness, dumbstruck. Peter turns to Charlene. With a frosty look at Mrs. Arness, Charlene heads for the kitchen.
Charlene, what is that particular taste? It's familiar, yet is it some kind of herb like sage?
Nah, it's sort of more like a milk of mint.
Milk, whatever it is, the taste is explosive.
He has another forkful.
Well, good then. Enjoy.
Oh, just one moment. There's a lovely, sad Negro spiritual. Ivy's brother just...
Sarah chokes.
Are you all right?
She drinks some water.
Anyway, Ivy's brother used to sing this when he came in from the tobacco fields.
Mrs. Arness begins to sing.
Mama, is Master gonna sell us tomorrow? Yes, yes, yes. Mama, is Master gonna sell us tomorrow? Yes, yes, yes. Mama, is Master gonna sell me tomorrow?
Charlene storms into the kitchen. She clatters pots and chops vegetables, then stares at the knife in her hand.
Pray. Now, there's a second verse. If you'd like to join in the chorus. Mama, is Master gonna sell us in Georgia?
Mrs. Arness, the kids and William Shakespeare, who's also at the table, look across at Peter, who seems bemused by the odd noises coming out of him.
Huh. That's an unusual feeling.
He shifts, then suddenly jolts in his chair.
Dad, are you okay?
Peter suddenly leaps out of his chair and raises his hands in forced jollity.
Hallelujah!
Peter runs out of the room and Mrs. Arness looks at the smiling Charlene.
I hope your father's all right. Does this happen often?
Well, if you'll excuse us, Georgie, let's go watch that biography on Francis Drake.
The kids go into the kitchen and turn on the TV. Charlene clears away.
He seemed to be so moved by that song.
Oh, he's moving all right.
William Shakespeare sees the TV on and goes into the kitchen.
William?
Mrs. Arness follows him.
Finding fugitive at large, Charlene Morton. Charlene is an African-American female, 31 years of age, 5'6", 175 pounds, with a tattoo on her left breast. Convicted of armed robbery, Charlene is considered cunning and highly dangerous. Having escaped from the women's correctional facility outside Los Angeles a mere 6 days ago, Morton is suspected to be armed. This bank surveillance tape shows Charlene wielding a gun and holding a customer hostage. Charlene is considered dangerous and may be armed. If you have any information concerning Charlene Morton, please contact your local FBI office.
The program shows a masked woman of Charlene's build robbing a bank. All eyes turn accusingly to Charlene.
Mrs. Arness, I can explain everything.
Mrs. Arness pulls her limousine door shut and the long black car drives away. Peter paces back to the house.
Okay, look, before you lose it, just let me explain.
There's nothing to say.
But I didn't do it, Pete.
You have to get out.
Without breaking his stride, Peter trudges into the house. Charlene shrugs.
All right, I'll get my stuff.
Charlene turns and sadly follows Peter into the house. Charlene wears a black skirt, pink top and a pink beret as she slowly walks along a plaza in an urban area of Los Angeles. She walks past a brick building, which has a large mural of an old black man painted on the side. Charlene takes off her aviator sunglasses and looks down with a sad shake of the head. At Peter's office...
Understand you saw her, and where is she?
I don't know where she...
Todd.
Don't drop the soap.
Todd walks off smugly.
What the hell does that mean?
Boy, I just don't believe this, Peter. I'm worried about her. I hate the fact she's out there all alone.
Oh, you're worried about the poor, innocent, frail creature who can hardly take care of herself on the street? What about me? Tobias is gonna fire me. Oh, and another goodie. If Arness calls the cops, I could go to jail.
Here's a local number for the Bureau. The FBI takes harboring a fugitive very seriously.
You gentlemen would be the first to hear from me. Mr. Guy?
Arness didn't call the cops, she called the FBI. Now, you haven't seen me.
I have seen you.
No, I mean, you haven't seen
me. I'm looking right at you, Peter. What do you... Peter?
He turns back.
If you do hear from her, please tell her the cool points are out the window and she's got me all twisted up in the game.
Peter runs off looking puzzled. In the car park, Peter gets into his car and starts the engine. He adjusts his rearview mirror and sees Widow staring at him from the back seat. Widow hooks his forearm around Peter's neck and holds a gun to his head.
Why are you messing with Lee?
I'm not messing with her, I'm helping her.
Bullshit!
He slams Peter's head against the steering wheel.
I'm telling you the truth!
Listen up. You do not reopen this case. From now on, I'm handling it for.
I'm not gonna reopen the case. The case is closed. Why would I reopen it?
Stay out of her life. If I gotta come back here, things are gonna get bloody.
Widow shoves Peter forward and opens the back door.
Maybe I should just finish this now.
Peter slams the car into reverse and screeches backwards. He swerves and hits the brakes and Widow falls out. Peter puts the Mercedes into drive and tears out of the underground car park. Later, he arrives home.
Hey. We have to find Charlene.
I thought you hated Charlene.
I found out she's innocent.
I knew it. I knew it.
How am I gonna find her?
Well, you can call her.
How can I call her if I don't know where she is?
Sarah hesitates.
I gave you your phone.
My new cell phone? You gave her my new $600 titanium cell phone?
She forces a grin.
Good idea. Come on.
What happened to your head?
Charlene sits on a public bench on the downtown plaza. She folds up her sunglasses and examines her long fingernails. She reaches into her top, pulls out the mobile phone and answers it.
Metropolitan Museum of Art, how may I help you?
I know who set you up.
What? Who?
Charlene stands on a downtown street corner as Peter's Mercedes suddenly pulls up beside her.
Get in.
She gets in and Peter drives off.
So what's up?
So the guy puts a gun to my head and tells me not to reopen the case. And I'm thinking, why is he doing this? And then it dawns on me, it's because he was involved.
God damn him. I can't believe Widow did this to me.
Where do you think he is?
I don't know.
She thumps the door.
Probably downtown at this club he hang out at called the Down Low.
Gotta get a confession.
You can't go there. Hey, man, I'm serious. A white man at the Down Low is either a cop, a corpse, or a crackhead. You can't even talk hood.
I'll figure out something. Oh, and Howie told me to tell you that the cool points are out the window and you got them all twisted up in the game.
Really?
She looks out of the window.
It's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Peter pulls up outside his house.
I'm going to drop you off here because I got to get back to the office for a conference call. So I'll see you in a little bit.
All right. Okay, cool.
Charlene gets out of the Mercedes and Peter drives off. Charlene gets straight on the mobile.
Yeah, freak boy. I need a ride. Can you come now?
Howie drives his convertible up to a large palatial house.
Damn,
straight cold pimp. Looks like Gambler beat us to it.
Todd's inside and pours sherry.
I can assure you, Mrs. Arness, Peter Sanderson is no longer affiliated with Tobias Klein and Barnes.
Good.
He gives her the sherry.
You have great ankles.
What?
Were you a dancer?
She softens a little.
Yeah, well, yes, I was.
I bet you had great presents.
Charlene swaggers in.
Oh, how you two doing?
They gape.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything. You nasty.
To Todd.
Yeah, what are you doing here? Please, Miss Arness, I'm not here to cause any trouble.
Well, that would be a first. Julia?
Julia a little tied up right now. Please, I just need you to hear me out for a minute. Peter is not responsible for any of this. I am. I mean, the guy is a great lawyer. And he's one of the most decent men I've ever known.
I doubt that saying much.
Shut up, fool. Now, if only you knew the lengths he's willing to go to help a friend. That's what this whole...
Listen, sister.
Sister?
Why don't you go back to Sanderson and the whole jungle fever thing the two of you got going on before I call the cops?
That's it, pretty boy. You ever met the Big Hurt?
The who?
She knocks him out.
My godfather.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
And why not? You'll be instantly returned to prison where you belong.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, how dare you?
To hell with what I just said. You're obviously one of them hard learners. Howie.
This is my house. I will not be told to do what I...
She drops the phone as Howie comes in with William Shakespeare.
William.
William's legs are tied and a rubber bone's been wedged into his mouth like a gag. Kate runs into Peter's house.
Kids, I'm Kate Sanderson. Have you seen my kids?
An FBI man points to the kids who are on the couch in the lounge.
What is going on?
It's just the FBI, Mom.
Yeah, they're just doing a, search.
For what?
Well, for Charlene, but she's
The FBI is looking for your nanny?
Peter's Mercedes is parked on a street corner in a rough end of town. Peter narrows his eyes as he peers across the road at a small group of youths who are gathered in the shadows near the entrance to the down low. Some sort of argument's taking place, and one of them tries to break it up before it gets too heated. Peter licks his lips nervously as two more youths wearing baggy sweatpants and t-shirts swagger towards his car.
Excuse me, homeboys.
The youths stop and look suspicious. Peter smiles and slowly slides a $100 bill out of the car window. A little later, Peter saunters towards the entrance to the down low. He wears trainers, sweatpants and a basketball vest over a maroon sweatshirt. A portable stereo is slung over his shoulder and he wears several necklaces and a black stocking cap. He steps up to the brawny guy on the door.
Say, yo, you got a bathroom in there?
He adjusts his crotch. The dance floor in the down low is packed with young streetwise people dancing in a cool, relaxed manner. Peter strolls cockily into the club and walks through a throng of people around the dance floor.
Say, yo, what's a dealio?
A young woman looks at him.
Who y'all that him? Back that booty up and put him on the glass.
Anybody here dig what I'm saying?
He looks round at the stony-faced clubbers at Peter's house.
So, your nanny was doing time for armed robbery, and then she broke out of prison.
Georgie and Sarah nod.
And then she came here.
The kids consider what Kate said and nod again.
But she's innocent, and now your dad has gone off to help her.
They nod and Kate smiles calmly.
Sounds crazy, right? He's not the same guy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's really cool.
At the down low.
There any of you homies hold an ass to Jimmy Hat? Because I'm all about crunching some of that
boom fanny tonight.
In Howie's convertible.
If you harm one hair on that dog's head.
Yeah, harm a hair in the head. You got me all nervous.
Hello?
Sarah.
Oh, hey, Charlene.
Put your daddy on the phone.
No, he's not here. He went off to find you.
He went to find me? All right. Howie, flipper you. We headed downtown.
Downtown's where I live, precious.
Howie skids his car around. Peter swaggers through the crowd at the download.
What song your mind, player?
What's with you? You been drinking some of that hater AIDS?
What's up, player? Where you from?
From the hood and misunderstood.
He and the girl eye each other.
How's your pet pants up? Strong, baby, strong.
He claps hands with a guy and a woman comes up to him.
Can you swerve, snowman?
Got that monkey spray painted on my forehead? Of course I can. I'm trying to peep a bow wow.
You so at home here? Then dance with the woman.
I can't. I got business.
Yeah, man, go on out there and get your groove.
No,
on.
I can't.
Snowman.
I got important business to take care of.
Peter flounders as the two guys take his stereo off his shoulders. The young woman takes hold of one of Peter's necklaces and leads him out onto the dance floor. Peter anxiously turns back to the men, but the slim young woman turns him round to face her and gyrates in front of him with her arms in the air. She wears tight jeans and a skimpy crop top and thrusts her pelvis up against Peter as she dances. Peter looks around nervously, then starts to dance with her as best he can. He spins round and the moment his back's turned, his slim young dance partner is shoved out of the way by a big flabby woman who takes her place. Peter balks for a second when faced with his new partner, but carries on with his street dancing just the same. Widow steps into the club flanked by two sexy young women and two burly guys who walk behind him. The young slim woman rejoins Peter and he finds himself sandwiched between her and the big woman. Widow spots Peter on the dance floor and whispers something to one of the guys behind him. Widow and the two women saunter away and the burly guys slowly walk towards Peter. Peter seems a little overawed by the two women gyrating against him. He slips away from the women and another clubber slides over to him on his knees. The clubber jumps up, bringing his knees to his chest and drops onto the dance floor before springing up and down and spinning round in front of Peter. Now in the swing of things, Peter dances with the clubber, then another young guy who joins him. Howie, Charlene and Mrs. Arness are in Howie's convertible.
You'll get a life sentence for this. You're a kidnapper and a whore.
Hey, keep talking, teabag.
Oh, teabag.
Yeah, you'll be gumming your bubbles and squeak.
Yeah, oh.
Mrs. Arness screws up her face in frustration and Charlene turns to Howie looking impressed. At the down low, dancers have cleared a space on the floor for Peter to do his fancy street moves. Three more guys jig around behind him like backing dancers. The backing dancers do breakdance moves, spinning around on the floor and somersaulting into the air behind Peter. Peter drops forward onto his hands and kicks his legs out, then rolls onto his back and kicks out his feet. He springs back up and does some star jumps as Widow's goons grab him and drag him towards a door. Peter grabs his stereo off a chair as he's manhandled through the door and finds himself in a back room. Widow sits on a couch between his two girlfriends and smirks at Peter.
Damn, boy, you looking all kind of stupid.
Really? Because I got this outfit from your mama.
Widow stares at him.
Yo, Eminem, cut the wig and shit. I don't think you know how much trouble you in.
Fine. Fine, fine. I'm here to talk business. Private business.
Howie and Charlene come cautiously into the down low with Mrs. Arness.
What fresh ale is this?
I don't see him anywhere.
I think he's in that back room over there.
What do we do with Her Majesty?
Sit down. Sit it on down.
She sits.
Now look, if you move, your little Willie gonna be bridge diving, you dig?
Dig.
A man spots Mrs. Arness's ring.
Is that real?
She snatches her hand away.
7 and 7 double.
The bartender goes and a man looks at Mrs. Arness.
How you doing?
What?
Sid, how you doing?
She shifts.
Oh, fantastic.
She throws the straw out of her drink and guzzles it. In the back room.
You either the dumbest cracker I ever met or you straight up...
Hold that thought. I love this song.
Peter turns up his stereo.
You think that you don't have to ever quit. You think that you can get away with it.
Turn it off.
Widow glares at Peter, who reaches over and presses the controls on the stereo.
Get everybody up out of here.
Widow's goons stand guard at the back room door.
I'm telling you, he is definitely in there.
Okay, all right, so he's in there, and then you go in, and then what happens?
Widow's got a gun.
3 seconds. Why are you here?
I got a feeling you're still sitting on a hefty sum of stolen cash. You want to hide it? You need a lawyer.
What's this? What's with the phone?
I'm calling in the cavalry.
You'll go back to prison.
So you want to help me launder my money?
I can hide it in an untraceable account in the Cayman Islands. All I want is $100,000. We both walk out of here wealthier men. And I tell you where Charlene is. That's simple.
Widow leans in close to Peter.
You wearing a wire?
Me? No. Are you?
At the bar.
And then they kidnapped me. And they took my daughter with me.
That's a damn shame.
Mrs. Arness sits between two men who are sharing a joint.
Oh, you don't care.
You smoking, Grandma?
One of the men offers her the joint.
Why not?
Mrs. Arness takes the joint and draws on it. She wobbles slightly and a smile appears on her face. The other man laughs and nudges her.
That's their stuff.
The back room.
To hell with your proposition.
Hold it. Charlene is ready to roll over on you. She knows who your accomplice was.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I'm not kidding. They're out in the parking lot waiting for my signal.
He aims at Peter.
And the signal is... If I don't come back, they call the FBI.
There wasn't no accomplice, fool.
But there was a girl in the photo.
No, there was somebody in a wig and a dress.
You. You left her clothes, the gun, and the money.
See? You're just too damn smart for your own good.
At the bar, Mrs. Arness happily puffs on the joint and the two guys giggle helplessly. Charlene and Howie stand nearby looking pensive.
Look, we can't wait no more.
Wait. Charlene.
Open up, we don't want to see me.
Says who?
Says Link.
Peter's pushed out.
Hey.
Well, it's a psychic moment.
I'm just coming to see you.
Come on now, Widow, you know this between me and you. Let him go.
No problem.
Widow pushes Peter down and aims his gun at Charlene.
Now, what are you doing?
Peter hits him and he drops the gun.
I got it. Aim it, Howie.
Howie aims.
Uh-huh. Who got the gun now, huh?
Widow and his men freeze and Charlene tilts the gun, so Howie's aiming it gangster style.
Ashes on the ground where I can see him.
Get him out!
Peter knocks into Howie and the gun goes off. Widow goes for it, but Charlene punches him. Mrs. Arness stands on the bar and looks at the panicking clubbers.
Horses.
Charlene grabs Widow, but he throws her off and hits her in the face. Howie and Peter try to keep hold of each other as Widow's goons pull them apart. Charlene hits Widow in the stomach and back, and he falls to the floor. She grabs a chair to hit him with as he grabs the gun and points it at her.
Wasn't that fun? I'm just gonna roll up on out of here.
Thank you.
Widow shoots and Charlene's thrown backwards onto a couch. The goons release Peter and Howie, who gaze in horror at Charlene. Howie lunges at Widow as several suited men stride in.
FBI! Everybody, freeze!
Charlene!
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Charlene's motionless.
Son of a...
Howie has his arms clamped tightly around Widow. The FBI pries him away and handcuff them both.
Oh, Charlene.
Charlene groans and holds her chest.
What?
Damn, dog.
She pulls down her top and Peter removes his mobile phone from her cleavage. A bullet's lodged in the titanium casing. He grins.
Hey, Howie, she's all right.
Howie gapes.
Charlene.
He tries to get closer.
Do me a favor, Precious. Don't ever scare me like that again, or I'm going to have to give you a nasty spanking if I'm not being too subtle.
He's bundled out by an FBI man.
He's such a damn freak.
Peter grins.
Are you Sanderson?
Yeah.
They're both grabbed.
Wait. She's innocent.
Save it.
I can prove it.
In the back room, the play and record buttons have been pressed down on Peter's stereo. Outside, Widow's driven away in a squad car. Howie, Charlene and Peter are by an ambulance.
Mr. Sanderson, that's pretty ballsy. You make a hell of an agent.
Oh, thank you very much. But, you know, I don't think I did anything that an ordinary man would
do. Thanks again.
These sort of circumstances.
Mr. Sanderson, there you are. You have behaved abominably.
Abominably.
No.
Shakespeare.
No, wait, this is serious. And I'll have you disbarred. Disbarred.
Disbarred?
Disbarred. Oh, to hell with it. I do believe I'm stoned. Just don't tell anybody you ever saw me like this.
Mrs. Arness?
William. Oh, God, you are an ugly dog. I'm heavy.
Here, got him.
Peter takes William Shakespeare from her.
Is there a 24-hour diner around here?
I know where one is.
You do?
I'll take you there.
I'm dreadfully hungry.
You guys okay?
What do you think?
Mrs. Arness says goodbye to her new homies.
Well, for cheesy homies.
Howie and Charlene sit together on the ambulance step. Tobias, Klein and Todd stride through the office.
Well, that's not good enough. You'll just have to keep trying, won't you?
I called Arness four times, Ed. She'll only talk to Peter.
Well, then we're just going to have to keep him around, aren't we?
Oh, hey, guys. Peter.
Did I mention I'm going out on my own?
You don't have the resources.
Well, I have one multi-billion-dollar client. That's a start. And a partner.
I'm all over it, G.
Let's go. Excuse me?
Peter and Howie head off.
Peter, we can talk about this.
Ed? You can kiss my natural black ass.
Peter walks off carrying a box of belongings. He runs into Ashley coming out of Barnes's office.
Peter.
Ashley, who are you doing here?
Oh, I was meeting Deb.
About her aunt's estate.
You know,
there was a codicil.
Yeah. Well, say goodbye to half your stuff.
Peter walks off, leaving Barnes looking horrified.
I'll call you.
Barnes has a big red lipstick kiss on his neck. Ashley smiles and walks off down the corridor, adjusting her underwear as she goes. Peter's Mercedes pulls up on a leafy roadside and Howie's convertible parks up behind it. Howie and Peter and the kids get out of their cars and carry several boxes into a white, old-fashioned style house. A sign out front reads, "Office space for rent," and a sticker with the word "leased" has been stuck over it. Howie, Peter and the kids set about organising their new reception area. A young woman sits at a desk.
Looking good, kids. Almost there.
Peter, the floorbook's waiting for you in your office.
I don't have any meetings today. I'm sorry I didn't realize I had an appointment.
Charlene's in his office.
Hey. So, this is how big-time tax attorney lives, huh? This place is big pimping, P. Diddy.
How you doing?
My. I really wanted to tell you again how much I appreciate what you did for me.
He shakes his head.
I could only give you back half of what you've given me.
Please, we'll call it even. Now give me a hug.
Hey, white people don't hug.
You ain't white.
Well, I'm off white.
Okay. Kate comes in.
Good to see you.
Kate taps on the doorframe and Peter turns.
Kate.
I gotta finish up some things with Howie.
Charlene heads for the door.
Oh, Kate, this is Charlene. Charlene, this is Kate.
They shake hands.
Hi. You've certainly been shaking things up around here.
Well, shaking is what I do best.
Peter smiles warmly.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Kate.
Thank you.
And take care of him for me.
Kate looks across at Peter. Behind her back, Charlene gestures at Peter to act like she had showed him, then walks off.
Hi.
Hi.
Kate shuts the door.
So, what brings you down? I mean, you know, not what brings you down, but I mean, what brings you down here?
She ponders.
Well, I was just wondering, how often do you take that shortcut past my house?
Technically? Pretty much every day.
She considers, then walks towards him.
Well, you know, technically. That's stalking.
Peter nods and looks down.
It's kind of cute.
Kate walks to the window.
Kate.
Peter joins her.
There's something I want to say to you.
Kate stares out at the oceanfront view, then looks at Peter, who tries to compose his thoughts.
The cool points are out the window, and I'm all twisted up in the game.
What does that mean?
It means I love you.
Kate holds Peter's face, then freezes at the sound of his mobile. Her face falls and she looks away as Peter reaches into his trouser pocket. He takes out his mobile and slings it out of the window. He holds out his arms and he and Kate hug. They kiss warmly. Downstairs in one of the ground floor rooms, Howie sits in a chair as Charlene braids and beads his hair Rastafarian style.
Rastaman, hope still he's gonna have these Jamaican beads all over the floor. Yeah, here we go. All right, halfway done. What you think?
She gives him a mirror.
Oh, holla at your boy.
Hey. Nothing is nothing.
Who's your daddy now?
Well, you are some kind of freaky.
Charlene sits on Howie's lap and pulls a roller blind down over the window. The camera pulls back to give an aerial view of the White Office building, which then fades into a wider aerial shot of the Los Angeles coastline at sunset. ITFC audio description by Alan Blyton. Unit Production Manager Daryl Cass. First Assistant Director Daniel Silverberg. Second Assistant Director Lisa Block-Toby. Associate Producer Cookie Carosella. Cast: Peter Sanderson, Steve Martin, Charlene Morton, Queen Latifah, Howie Rotman, Eugene Levy, Mrs. Arness, Joan Plowright, Kate, Jean Smart, Sarah Sanderson, Kimberly J. Brown, Georgie Sanderson, Angus T. Jones, Ashley, Missy Pyle, Todd Gendler, Michael Rosenbaum, Mrs. Klein, Betty White, Widow, Steve Harris, Ed Tobias, Jim Haney, Mike, Angus James, Widow's Bodyguards, Gernard Burks, Bronzel Miller, Aaron, Matt Lutz, FBI Agent, Randy Oglesby, Italian FBI Agent, Jesse Corti, Dorman, Smalls, Glenn, Victor Webster, Big Men, Teddy Lane Jr., Vincent M. Ward, Daniel Barnes, Michael Ensign, Sophia, Tracy Sherelle Jones, College Party Boy, Josh Waters, Sales Lady, Anne Fletcher, Male Commentator, John Prosky, Bear, Alonzo Bodden, Caddy, Seth Howard, Hip Hoppers, Diana Carino, Tim Stevenson, Eddie Garcia, Fly Girl, Sunday Carter, Hostess, Anne Bellamy, Bartender, Robin Michelle McClam, Mr. Klein, Walter Addison, Rosa, Gina Morelli, Waiter, Seth Atchell, Heavy Guy, Deesa D, Nightclub Singer, Kelly Price, Backup Singers, Candace Jackson, Erica Nuri, Download Dancers, Faida Amana Brigham, Amina Abdul-Jalil, Barry Lee Youngblood, Christian L. Judd, Oscar L. Orosoko, Garland R. Spencer, Charlene's Neighbour, Montrose Hagens, Hotel Hostess, Laura Grady Peterson, William Shakespeare the Dog, Linus the Dog. Songs: A Man and a Woman, performed by Jean Molino and Melissa McKay. What You Gonna Do, performed by Foxy Brown. Jungle Love, performed by The Time. Fourth Floor Lady's Shoes, performed by Daniel May. Simply Irresistible, performed by Robert Palmer. Beat Boys, performed by Bishop. Billie Jean Is Mia, performed by Johnny Was. Next to You, performed by Calvin Richardson. Ain't Nobody, performed by Kelly Price. I'm Gonna Love You Just a Little Bit More, Babe, performed by Barry White. Rock Nation, performed by Jamie Dunlap. Killer Bee, performed by Jamie Dunlap. With Me, performed by Just Sean. Where's the Love, performed by Floetry. Let Me See You Dance, performed by Iceberg. Gutter, performed by The Unit. Way of Life, performed by Lil Wayne, featuring Big Timers and TQ, contains a sample of Don't Look Any Further, performed by Dennis Edwards. Let Go, performed by Eve, contains a sample of Before I Let Go, performed by Maze, featuring Frankie Beverly. Rockstar, performed by N.E.R.D. Do Your Thing, performed by Queen Latifah, featuring Mario Winans. Move Something, performed by Mr. Cheeks. Soundtrack available on Hollywood Records. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animal was harmed in the making of this film, AHA 00344. Copyright 2003, Touchstone Pictures. This motion picture was created by Big House Productions, Inc. for purposes of copyright law in the United Kingdom. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. A circle opens up in the black screen like an iris. Within the circle is a sepia image of Tower Bridge, the River Thames glimmering blue beneath it. Hyde Park Entertainment. Bright shafts of orange light form the rough shape of a streak of lightning over a shadowy blue disc. Beneath it, the words, Touchstone Pictures.